Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In a week that saw the Game Award nominees nominate a game in the independent category that's not independent, they then followed it up, not the Game Awards, the industry, followed it up with, we're going to announce The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, a game from 3 years ago.
We all knew it was coming.
We all knew it. We called it.
Like a looming shadow in the distance. A storm approaching.
For the record, I don't think we're allowed to say you called it if the bus has been in front of your face the entire time and you're going to say, well, the bus is going to arrive pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably shouldn't stand on the train tracks. You might get hit by the train known as Naughty Dog that's like, here, let's shove the same game down your throat multiple times in a row, and you idiots keep buying it.
Yep.
It's not a thrilling week for video game news.
There is one good thing I can say about that PlayStation Sony thing.
Yeah.
But I'll say it then.
We'll wait.
I'll save it.
Because this is the Gamers Do podcast.
Damn right it is.
It's your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interests.
Right,
a lot going on this week.
The race to the world first.
Race to the world first.
Vegas F1.
Vegas F1.
League of Legends World Finals.
World Finals. Some TV shows coming out if you're into that whole thing.
Football season.
Football season. There's something else too.
Thanks
Friday. Thanksgiving. Yeah. I don't know.
A lot of stuff.
You know what
else there's a lot of?
New releases.
Thank you for the segue. Let's start with number one. Broken Roads for the PC. Also known as What's in Vegas.
Ho ho.
Ha, I got the easy jokes. Spirit T for PC, PlayStation, and PC, Xbox, and Switch. Number 3, Ark Survival Ascended for Xbox. Number 4, Farming Simulator 22, the Premium Edition.
Premium Farming.
For PC, PlayStation, Xbox. Number 5, I Have the Hiccups, coming to you on this podcast. Number 5, Gods of the Twilight for PC. Number 6, Hogwarts Legacy, made it to the Switch.
And I heard it's actually not bad.
Okay. I'm impressed. Number 7, Howl, PC and the Switch. Number 8, Remnant 2, The Awakened King DLC for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. You know what, every time I've read that, immediately I think Destiny the Taken King. Every time. Number 9, Checkmate Showdown for the PC. Number 10, Lake Season's Greetings DLC for the PC. Whatever, it was already out on. Number 11, The Last Faith for PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 12, Nailbuck's Dungeon Master for the PC.
Good enough.
Okay. Number 13, PlayStation Portal. If you really wanted to spend $200 for a small screen, you can.
I just can't comprehend how you can justify the PlayStation Portal when you can get a Steam Deck for like $350.
What if, Matt, I wanted to buy a PlayStation Portal and The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered? Number 14, Teardown for PS5 and Xbox, and the Time Campers DLC. You remember Teardown?
No.
It's like the brick, every individual like pixel one. It's got the cool physics driving through the wall, doing like the heist, and like shoot down walls and You don't remember this.
I do not.
You, if you saw it immediately, you'd be like, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. I'll Google it.
Like breaking down walls because you like plan out the trailer or demo that we always saw was that they would plan out a heist by blowing out walls, doing whatever, and then they would execute said heist. It's all like Minecrafty when I say bit style.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yep. I remember that title screen thing.
Number 16, Assassin's Creed Nexus VR for the Quest 2. Number 17, Es Libre Revision for the Switch. Number 18, Dredge, the Pale Reach DLC. Number 19, Flashback 2 for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number 20, Jagged Alliance 3 for the PlayStation and Xbox. Number 21, The Kinderman Remedy.
I like that.
Kinderman Remedy for PC. Number 22, Lottlenaut for the PC. Number 23, Power Wash Simulator, Back to the Future DLC. Think you washed the DeLorean or the clock tower?
You better fucking believe you do. And if you don't, why did you call it this DLC?
Number 24, Tobor for PC. Number 25, Naruto X Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch.
So much bullshit.
Number 26, Persona 5 Tactica for the PC, Xbox. Number 27, Super Mario RPG for the Switch. Number 28, The Walking Dead Destinies for PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. And number 29, Warhammer Age of Sigmar, Realms of Ruin for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox for the Emperor.
Damn, a lot of subtitles there. Gonna have to deal with a throat phlegm.
You got it going on.
I do. I had a very interesting week, so.
Of throat phlegm?
There was throat phlegm.
Okay.
There was sinus pressure. There was Canada.
Huh?
There was company meetings. It was a whole slew of things this week, and it was a great week for me to be sick.
Because, of course, you still have to attend all of those?
Oh, yeah, baby.
I'm so sorry, because I'm not editing any of this.
Yeah, you're dealing with it. This is live, baby. Not live, but, you know. Raw.
It's live for me. I'm in
raw like my throat. Am I doing number one? Raw like my butthole, too. From all the Mexican and Brazilian food or whatever.
Yeah, you've had a Latin weekend so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have odds because I read a lot of games.
Yeah. All right. You know, Persona developer Atlas will raise the average annual salary of its employees by 15% in April 2024. The developer will also be paying performance bonuses based on the profit it's generated globally. Insider Gaming reported that the success of projects including the Persona and Shin Megami Tensei franchises is what led Atlas to reconsider its salaries. The company said it wanted to, quote, create a comfortable working environment for each and every employee, end quote. And that it was, quote, investing in various personnel measures, including reforms to its personnel system, end quote. Rare occasion of a company investing into its workforce.
It's a double-edged investing into your workforce and also becoming a more attractive company for better candidates.
Yeah. I'm sure that there's also some conversations and some investigation that was done that they were like, you know, if we just increased our wages, we could probably get away with not having people unionize.
Yeah, oh, there's definitely going to be, if we do everything of the, you know, look at the back of the hand that's slapping you type of thing, then
yeah,
it's like, hey, here's a lot of money. And here's all the things we're going to try to hush over by giving you a lot more money.
A perfect example of this is, if you're into this sort of thing, is there was recently a labor agreement contract signed by the auto workers union. And after that happened, all the companies that don't participate in auto unions, Hyundai, Honda, Toyota, what other big ones am I forgetting? Kia is included in with Hyundai.
I don't know which ones
participate or not, so I can just name things. But
all of those that aren't participating,
yeah,
raised all of their salaries to match the
pseudo participation.
Yes, because they're like, all right, we'll just do the bare minimum so that we don't have our workers unionize, which is fine because like that's kind of the point of unions. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
That's the market, I guess, working. I guess. I don't know. I'm not smart.
So is it working or is it just kind of working?
I think it's how it's supposed to work. But, you know, we're still probably behind a few generations as far as what is fair.
True. All right. Let's go to number two, and NetEase has added yet another studio to its development roster with Worlds Untold, a new studio led by former BioWare developer Mac Walters. While the studio is headquartered in Vancouver, Worlds Untold is billed as a fully remote studio, and it will work on, quote, AAA action-adventure games with an emphasis on narrative and world-building, end quote. Walters will serve as CEO of Worlds Untold, bringing with him a wealth of experience from nearly 20 years at BioWare, where he was lead writer on Mass Effect 2 and 3, narrative director on Anthem, creative director on Mass Effect Andromeda, and most recently, production director on the Dragon Age franchise. You, like, started out okay, Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
And then it went downhill from there.
Yep. I'm, you know, we've seen a lot of developer studios pop up.
A lot of specifically, there's been a lot of BioWare.
Yes. And I'm always curious, like this one I'm pretty curious about just because of the guy who's running it. And I feel like it's like a 50-50 situation where you're like, this might be shit or this might be good. So, especially when you see the resume, you're like, oh, gonna have to watch this one.
You're like, all right, take some of the elements from each of these things and you might have an okay game.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be either
I'm still of the mind that they shouldn't have canned Anthem as fast as they did.
I agree. I mean, Anthem,
it launched like
had a lot of potential as far as the world. But
also, it had so many problems, both technical and otherwise.
Yep.
But also, I can see it.
Yep.
I can see it working.
Yep. But we'll never know now, and I'm sure BioWare will be dead in a little while. As per, you know, tradition. Oh boy, number three, more union talking. The Communications Workers of America filed an unfair labor practice on behalf of the Allied Employees Guild, improving Sega, or Aegis. After Sega reportedly proposed a plan to, quote, phase out temporary workers by February 2024 and outsource roles to Europe and Japan. Aegis member Elise Willacker said this would affect roughly 80 people in the union's bargaining unit. You know, if you got a group of people and they're trying to bargain for a union, you know, why not just get rid of them? You know? Big brain move right there. Earlier this year, Sega of America employees.
I just love the no.
you're fired. Sega of America employees voted yes to forming a union consisting of over 200 staff from live service, marketing, and product development departments. It's an interesting one, especially considering that Sega is making this big push recently. They're like trying to make a comeback of sorts. I don't know. Do we talk about that later?
Maybe.
We may or may not talk about that.
They've been buying people though. So
they've been buying people. They've been saying that they're going to come out with Sonic games and all sorts of other.
Been getting jealous on the sidelines.
What was that?
Been getting jealous on the sidelines.
Oh yeah. Well, of course. They're like, we want money too.
Yo, dude, we like money.
You know how long they've been waiting?
Pretty sure there's when you're getting an unfair labor practice because what you did is illegal.
Listen, we don't worry about those. We don't sweat the small stuff.
Or don't worry about it. Don't look behind the glass.
They're like, wait, you can't fire people who are trying to form a union? Is that it's a conflict of interest of some kind?
No, it's weird. Number four, Epic.
Another Epic.
Great. Epic. Epic Games has announced a new voice reporting feature for Fortnite. When enabled, when enabled, it will record the last 5 minutes of chat audio on a rolling basis. Users can submit audio samples as evidence of actions violating community guidelines. Recordings will be sent to moderators for review afterward, automatically deleted after 14 days, or for the length of processing.
So if it's always processing, you don't ever have to delete it. There's a lot of big brain moves going on this week.
User reports will also remain anonymous. Voice reporting will automatically be enabled for Fortnite players under 18. Minors who do not wish to have their voice chat audio captured must mute themselves or turn off voice chat entirely. Guardians will also be able to manage the audio chat permissions as well as using Epic's parental controls.
So given the player base of Fortnite.
Sure, I know what you're thinking.
How many moderators are they going to have? And when they say moderators,
I don't know what you're thinking.
You know, they're kind of trying to make you think that they're like, obviously it's a person. But as a moderator, are they going to consider a moderator like it's a AI on the server that's going to just scrub through this?
It might have a little bit of both. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, it tries to do a text-to-speech or a speech-to-text, like, translation.
And just looks for keywords.
Scans it for buzzwords, and then, depending on what it finds, passes it off to a human to evaluate. Yeah. That might be the case. It is also hysterical. Because voice chat is just terrible anyway.
I'm one of those people who, online, like, the first thing I do is mute everyone.
Oh, so. Absolutely. I'm like, I don't want to listen to any of you. If I wanted to listen to you, you'd be in the Discord call I'm in right now. But that being said, automatically enabled for Fortnite players under 18. I have a feeling there's a large contingent that is under 18 that either, one, lies about being above 18, or two, is some of the worst offenders.
Yeah. I also suspect there'll be some sort of legal pushback on that because, like, I don't know, like, it seems like there would be a legality issue with just automatically recording people who are minors.
Oh, well, for sure. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I just pretend to be one sometimes.
I just pretend to be one on the internet.
Exactly. All right, number five. We're going to blow through this now that I'm thinking about it, but that's fine.
No, we're not. Well, actually, yeah, you know what? I'm okay with that.
Remedy has changed its previously free-to-play multiplayer title into a paid game. Remedy explained that discussions with its publishing partner Tencent had led to the decision, which will also see the title's code name change from Vanguard to Kestrel. Quote, due to uncertainties in creating a successful game to the rapidly changing free-to-play market and associated risks, the parties have discussed a new direction for the game project, end quote. Remedy also revealed that the game has, quote, reached the end of its proof-of-concept phase and due to this evaluation, that's what I meant to say. I also saw another article that said that the game was being rebooted.
Essentially, yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
Remedy making a lot of games.
They are. I mean, this is kind of one of those. I enjoyed reading this because it's like, okay, people are noticing that the free-to-play market might not be like the best move anymore.
Right.
So.
And at least it hasn't been unless you want to be a leech.
Yeah. And I'm assuming Remedy probably was like, you know what? We have good luck with making traditional games right now. So why don't we just stick with that?
Yeah.
And Tencent's like, you know, we crunch the numbers, and if we do a paid game, we're guaranteed to make this amount of money. If we do a live service game, we might only make this amount of money, but we might make this bigger number. So they're like, well, let's just play it safe, because we like money. We like money.
And we don't care who knows.
Yeah, we like it when we can tell the people who gave us money how much money we're going to make them, and we're right on the money.
You know what it's all about? Money.
The money. Oh, God.
Number six, let's talk about a game a company I haven't heard of or haven't heard from in a long time. Long time. NC Soft has shown off a couple of projects at this year's G-Star. G-Star, for those that are uninitiated, is an annual trade show for the video game industry in Korea.
Big time.
Project LLL.
Great name. NCSoft. This isn't the first time I've seen project names from NCSoft. I don't know who the fuck comes up with these things. But I think you need to get them some help. Anyways.
Project LLL is a third-person open-world shooter, MMO hybrid, highly reminiscent of Massive's The Division. A sci-fi game taking place in a devastated Seoul, Project LLL will feature a playable open world of more than 30 square kilometers connected through a seamless environment. In the new gameplay trailer, we see the player character engaging various monstrous creatures, maybe transformed humans, with a variety of weaponry. The player character is also shown riding vehicles like a jeep, helicopter, as well as entering a mech. Last year, NCSoft said Project LLL would launch in 2024 for PC and consoles.
Yeah. I meant to watch these trailers, but I never got around to it.
Project M is an interactive narrative title clearly inspired by the games made by Quantic Dream. However, the new gameplay video shows actual crosshair?
I think that's meant to say an actual crosshair.
Suggesting that there will be free-form action instead of just quick-time events. Powered by Unreal Engine 5, Project M will utilize Lumen, Nanite, and MetaHuman to push the visuals. It is being made for PC and consoles, although there's no launch date yet. And
oh my God, he's dying. It was a good run.
NCSoft also brought new trailers for the MMORTS Project G and collectible RPG Project BB or BSS.
G Unit.
No, that's the name of the show they were at.
Oh shit. An MMORTS.
What does it even mean?
I don't know. I devoted about 30 seconds to try to imagine what that would be. And then I just said, why am I even trying to do this?
Is it just like Total War? But MMO? So like everybody's a
massively
nation?
Multiplayer online real-time strategy.
Eve?
I think you'd need units of some kind.
Well, Eve, you're your ship.
Yeah. So maybe like almost like a, I'm kind of imagining like those like open world survival games a la like Rust, but instead of like being an individual person, you have like town.
I'm thinking like Civ or Clash of Clans.
Yeah.
Clash of Clans, but an MMO.
Yeah.
Where your base is full of a bunch of warriors that you can send out 10 at a time to go attack whatever.
Yeah. There you go. Boom, you nailed it. That's what it is.
And it's always online.
Yeah, so how's that work? You just get fucked when you're offline?
100%. Like, the way all of those games work when you go offline. Rust, you get raided and die, lose all your stuff.
Rape and pillage. Terrible.
I'm not acknowledging you.
Terrible, just terrible.
All right, Charles.
I'm like just...
What are you doing?
Sticky.
Yeah, it's probably the fucking ice cream.
Sticky. Next up, we got the old Game Award nominations.
You got the link running?
I do got the link up.
Okay,
I got it up. This iPad actually works, which is...
Holy shit.
I know. Don't fucking breathe too hard. It's going to break again.
I'll cough as well.
What do you want? What are we doing? Top to the bottom? You want to start with the game of the year? You want to end with the game of the year?
I want to end with the game of the year.
All right. I'm not going to... I'll try to breeze through it and skip over. You want to do esport event?
No. Yeah, give me. Let's do that. Give me the title of the category, and I'll tell you whether or not I give a shit.
Okay, esports event.
No.
Esports coach.
No.
Esports team.
No.
Esports athlete.
No.
Esports game.
Yes.
Counter-Strike 2. Dota 2. Okay. League of Legends. PUBG Mobile. Valorant.
Okay.
Strong feelings on any of those?
Not necessarily anything strong. I think Valorant will probably have a big one. CS:GO 2 is going to have, or CS2 is going to have its own hype moment. So
yeah,
and League's been pretty good, but Dota's also a killer. So I mean, there's four clear contenders, I think. But
and PUBG Mobile has been big in everywhere other than the US. So
right, and well,
yeah. Content creator of the year,
me.
Nailed it.
Gamers 2 podcast.
Most anticipated game.
I'm curious what they listed. So I only saw some of these. Mm-hmm. I didn't dig through the entire tweets from the Game Awards channel or watch that weird video or the fact that apparently they're in Fortnite. Apparently you can vote for the Game Awards inside of Fortnite.
You know 100% more than I do.
Keeley's in Fortnite. Yeah. Just let that sink in.
So my issue with Jeff Keighley is like he's on this high horse about trying to like, you know, create the Game Awards and create exposure for, you know, video game industry and all that good stuff. But he's creating a brand that's focused around him. So when he's not around, what you it just deflates. Like you should be trying to create something that stands out, but like outside of you,
right? It shouldn't be
about you.
I mean, he's lucky that he didn't name it Jeff Keighley's Game Awards.
Yeah,
because that
we are so close to that though. Like,
oh yeah.
Anyways, most anticipated games: Tekken 8, Star Wars Outlaws, Like a Dragon: Infinite Wealth, Hades 2. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. my guess is Final Fantasy VII is going to win.
I mean,
because I don't know why, but the type of people that votes on the Game Awards, it gets a serious hard on for Final Fantasy VII.
True, you're not wrong.
And then if they don't win, it's going to be Star Wars.
Hades might do it.
That's true. Hades might, because that wasn't Hades, that game of the year. Hades one was.
Yeah, and it was really good.
Yeah.
So there's a few. I'd be sad if Final Fantasy won. I'd be sad.
I would be too.
But it's a future award for a game that doesn't exist technically. So who gives a shit?
I think of the list, the most likely to actually be a genuinely good game is going to be Hades 2 or Like a Dragon.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. I agree those two games, even not just in terms of be a good game, are going to be better than the rest of that list.
Yeah. Best multiplayer presented by Discord.
Sure.
Baldur's Gate 3?
It has co-op.
Okay. Diablo 4?
No.
Party Animals?
Gang B. Okay, I can see that.
Street Fighter 6?
Okay.
Super Mario Bros. Wonder?
It'll either be Wonder, Party Animals, or what was the first one?
Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate, yeah.
Best community support?
No. Which, let's put it real quick. The fact that Destiny is on that list is fucking hysterical.
Another one that's on the list that kind of makes me giggle a little bit, although I understand why it's on there, Cyberpunk.
Oh, for sure, yeah. But also, yeah, it's that one's at least an understanding of why it's on there.
Mm-hmm.
All the improvements they've made, the 4K, the basically not re-release, but the whole changing of the game when they put it back out again this year, and the Phantom Liberty DLC. Mm-hmm. So I can see, hey, look, we're keeping it alive, good support, yada yada. We don't want you guys to go away and feel empty-handed. Blah 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 blah. Where's my multiplayer? All right, cool, good talk. But Destiny 2 being on that after just cutting a shit ton of people, delaying everything, canceling it, it's like, what the fuck?
Little silly. Games for impact. Innovation in accessibility. Sports? Sure.
Yeah, okay. Give me the accessibility one. Because I'm always curious about these because sometimes I notice.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see the menus and I'm like, holy shit. Other times I don't, so.
Which you probably would have a pretty good, I think you've seen most of these enough. Diablo 4.
Okay.
Forza Motorsport.
Okay.
Hi-Fi Rush.
Okay.
Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 1.
Okay.
Street Fighter 6.
The only one I can really speak to is Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some pretty decent ones.
So yeah.
We'll see. I don't know if there's anything that's... I'm not the right person to ask, but I'm curious to see if there's anything that's actually innovating in any of them.
Yeah.
That's like a, holy shit, this is actually so good as an accessibility feature.
Next up is best sports / racing.
I'm only curious because if I remember correctly in this category, Gran Turismo is not listed because it didn't come out this year.
It is not.
But like the crew Motorfest or whatever is, and I'm like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. The crew Motorfest, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2, Forza Motorsports, F1 23, and then EA Sports FC 24. Which
why is Football Manager not on this list?
That's a good question. I think you could probably sub out. I don't think. Well, the crew. I think the weakest link on here is probably the crew.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
I think. Yeah, I think FC 24 is going to take it without a question. But
I'd love to see Hot Wheels win that.
I would too because I don't know if it's
Motorsport might actually win it too.
It might be an actually good game. I don't know. Well, Forza, the launch on it was kind of rough, I think, but...
It was rough more for the mechanics inside of the thing from what I remember, like upgrading the car and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see Hot Wheels win that. Are you kidding me?
Best sim strategy game?
Sim strategy? Go for it.
Advanced Wars 1 and 2, Reboot Ooh, Camp?
I still got to plug it. That's got to go on my Christmas list.
City Skyline 2, Company okay. of Heroes 3.
Okay.
Fire Emblem Engage, Pikmin 4.
Interesting. I guess Pikmin is strategy. I don't never really think about it that way, but I guess it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, but
it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a bunch of people and have them do jobs for you. Strategy.
Best
corporate world is strategy.
it's kind of weird. Best family game.
Super Mario something.
Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Really though, best fighting game.
This one will be interesting because you have Mortal Kombat coming out, or you know that came out. You also have Street Fighter that came out.
Yep. Then Nintendo All Star Brawl 2.
Right. No, I stopped at the two that mattered.
Pocket Bravery.
Uh huh.
God of Rock.
Yep. You're welcome. I saved your region three things.
This
is me saying like nothing about the fighting community where watch one of those other three be like an amazing fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
Hi-Fi Rush not in there.
Nope.
Is that a fighting game?
Or just I don't know.
It's like an action adventure. Because like you are brawling.
I guess they consider
it. Like, would Spider-Man be a fighting game? You know what I mean?
It's not an action adventure either.
Yep, all
right. It's an action game though.
Okay.
All right, best RPG. I think this should
Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, this should be an easy one. There are other good games.
There are a lot of good RPGs this year.
Final Fantasy 16, Lies yep. of P, Sea of yep. Stars,
yep.
Starfield.
Yeah. All of those
solid.
Sea of Stars was like critically acclaimed
mm-hmm.
for bringing back that old feeling of an old RPG.
It was kind of funny because the bit I played it. Arguably the weakest game in here is Starfield.
Yeah.
Or Final Fantasy 16, but still.
Honestly, probably Final Fantasy 16, but yes, no, Starfield. That's like I think the only thing Starfield got nominated for, so.
Suck it. Best action-adventure game?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man? Alan Wake 2.
Spider-Man.
Okay.
I'd argue Alan Wake 2 is not an action-adventure game, which is a weird argument to make.
No, I could see that argument. I can 100% see that argument.
It's closer to like Resident Evil is also that way, is an action adventure game technically.
Yep, it's on here.
But
that one has more action in it, where I feel like Alan Wake is more suspenseful thriller than...
Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird.
I think the categories need a revamp.
Oh, 100%. Well, we'll get to that when we get to the independent one.
All right, so it's Alan Wake 2, Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, which...
Okay. No.
And then Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Spider-Man.
Yep. Best action game. I don't know about this one.
Is it just a bunch of shooters? Well, no, because it'd be the best shooter.
Armored Core 6.
Okay.
Dead Island 2.
Okay.
Ghost Runner 2.
Okay.
Hi-Fi Rush.
Yep.
Remnant 2.
The last three are your priority picks, sort of however it tickles you.
Okay.
Probably... I don't know. Dead Island was fun for an action game, but Ghost Runner 2 is definitely going to be up there.
Okay. Best VR AR game?
I couldn't even tell you one that came out. And I've read about six of them this year.
I mean, I think the one that would take it is the one that you were not thinking of, which is Gran Turismo 7.
Yep.
Which is wild that why is it in here but not in racing?
Probably because specifically the VR got patched in after. Is my guess.
Okay. All right. So
because that was my initial thought is I don't remember if 7 came out earlier this year or not. I literally time is an enigma.
Yeah.
Because if it had come out in this window, then it not being in racing is a problem.
Yeah.
And the crew being there is what the fuck. Like,
yeah. It's Gran Turismo 7, Humanity, Horizon, Call of the Mountain, Resident Evil Village, VR mode, and then Synapse.
Don't know what that is.
Don't know what that is either. Best mobile game. Here we go. Best debut indie game. Best independent game.
All right, so let's go back to mobile.
Okay.
I'm curious.
Okay.
I know I should have stopped you at any point during this, but when you said, here we go, I thought you were going to read them and not continue on. That's my bad.
Oh, no, I was just like, I assumed we brush over a mobile game.
But. No, I'm just curious because you did say PUBG Mobile is pretty big, but that shouldn't be in this list.
It's not.
I think these are technically still supposed to be games that came out this year, so.
Terra Nil.
Don't know what that is.
Monster Hunter Now.
Okay.
Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Oh, my God. The World of Warcraft South Park.
Yep.
I'm going to go play Hello Kitty Island Adventure. God damn it, Butters.
Hanki Star Rail.
Yep. We've talked about that multiple times.
The Star Rail part sounds familiar.
Yeah. It's been in the list. It's one of the ones that ends with like an R at some point.
Yeah.
85 different games later.
Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you care about debut indie games?
I'm curious. I'll have to look at it was Terra Nil was the first one on that list?
Yep, Terra Nil.
I'm just curious. Sometimes I get curious about like when they say, oh, here's a new best mobile game. And if it's actually
okay. It's Devolver.
Terra Nil is?
Terra Nil is Free Lives, Devolver, Netflix.
Okay, so it's worth at least me going to the store page and debating.
Yeah.
And that's about maybe as far as I get.
Which it might fall into the Netflix exclusive problem.
Ooh, which means I don't care.
Yeah.
Also, how is that considered mobile? You know what I mean?
I don't know. Well, I guess it makes sense because you can't really, you can only do the Netflix games on mobile devices.
Really?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
I don't think you can on PC. I'd have to check. Like, they don't show up. They don't show up on my TV, which that kind of makes sense, but.
Terra Nil is by Netflix. I can install it.
Okay.
It is a It literally says it's a reverse city builder.
That's even more interesting. Do you just destroy cities then?
I'm going to install it.
Okay.
I'll let you know next week.
Best debut indie game.
Yep.
Cocoon, Dredge, Pizza Tower, Venba, Viewfinder.
So, Pizza Tower, really good. Viewfinder, really good.
I've heard Dredge come up.
Really good.
Yeah.
My vote, Cocoon.
Bam.
Because I really enjoyed it.
Damn.
It was a good, I think I was maybe 5 to 6 hours of just puzzle solving. And I was like, you know what? I feel happy after that. It was my journey.
Yeah. Those are good ones.
It was such a good palate cleanse.
Pizza Tower. Made by Tour de Pizza.
Well, of course it is.
Who
else would make that game?
Best independent game.
Here's the problem.
Cocoon. Dave the Diver. Dredge. Sea of Stars. Viewfinder.
So, my vote is Cocoon again.
Okay. One of these is not like the others.
Yeah, literally, I think the difference from the other category is what? Dave the Diver for... isn't everything's the same, isn't it? Except for Dave the Diver.
Dave the Diver.
Here's the problem with Dave the Diver. They're not an independent studio. They're owned by Nexon.
What if they accidentally swapped the categories and then didn't fix it? And they were like, well, we're just going to run with it.
But even then, it's not independent. It's not an indie game.
Well, I guess this is the thing that's kind of weird and where they need a revamp. They have best independent game, but then they have best debut indie game.
Right.
I feel like that's a little redundant. Well, it is redundant. It's the same fucking games in both categories.
So it's redundant in the example that it's the same games in both categories, but where it's not redundant is if... I can't remember the name of the studio. Holy shit, I'm going to blank so hard. But like, think of Stardew. If they made Stardew 2, it doesn't go into the debut category. It goes into the best indie category.
Yeah, I still feel like it's redundant, though.
It's a debut of the studio.
Yeah.
It is a redundancy.
I guess you could argue it's trying to get more exposure on indies.
Right. I guess my problem is
I think a better category would be best debut studio or something like that.
Yeah.
Instead of
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Yeah. Best indie game and best
really what they
best
should
studios,
do.
Best studio debut would be better categories because then you would highlight the game and highlight the studio, which is what you want to do. You don't want to just say David
Arbor. Or do like best independent game and then best new indie studio or something.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, for saying blah, blah, blah with the game blah.
Yeah.
That would probably help it a lot. But either way, Dave the Diver is not a independent studio. They're owned by Nexon. They're specifically not independent.
Yeah. All right. Well, what we'll do is we'll come up with a proposal. We'll revamp the game award categories, and then we'll send it to Jeff Keighley.
Perfect. And then once again, the industry owes us millions.
Exactly. Best ongoing. All right, here we go again. All right. Best ongoing game, which I think you could almost argue that best ongoing game and best.
I know what you're going to say, but no.
Okay.
I can argue this one harder than I can the other one.
Yeah.
Because this shouldn't be best ongoing game. This should basically be best live service game.
Yeah.
And the other one is best community support of still just being like best community support should have, like, Baldur's Gate should be in that list.
My issue with this, though, is that there's not. Well, one of these games I would not consider a live service game.
But so, like, best community support for me is like Larian Studios for Baldur's Gate.
Yes.
Because they're just, you know, loving it and enjoying it. But then you get to best live service game and you're kind of like, okay, well, then you're going to run into the FIFA or the FCs and the Maddens and the NBAs, the Call of Duties, the Apex. How many have I named?
None of them.
Fuck.
Wait, did you say Apex Legends?
Yeah.
Okay, Apex Legends. That was the last one I said. We got Apex Legends.
Okay.
Cyberpunk 2077.
No.
Yeah, see, that's my issue.
That doesn't kill. That's not wrong list anyway.
Final Fantasy 15, 16. What are we on? 25. What is this? 16. 14.
I think you mean 14, the MMO.
Yeah, 14.
Okay, 14 is allowed to be on the list. Because I was going to say, 16 and 15 aren't allowed on there.
Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, Genshin Impact.
Yeah, so everything, Cyberpunk shouldn't be on there.
That's the one where...
Final Fantasy should win.
There you go.
Fortnite actually has a solid race this year, though, for putting the old map back in and pulling a lot of people back in, yada, yada. In a year where Modern Warfare is kind of down, apparently, so we'll see. But Final Fantasy still just absolutely kills it.
Best adaptation.
Which way? Movie to game or game to movie?
It looks like it's game to movie or game to live action or game to something.
Oh, okay.
So you got all your...
So what does that even include? Cyberpunk?
That's not on here, but they would have been. I think it was on last year.
Oh, yeah. Edrunners. Yeah.
Castlevania Nocturne, which is animation and it's Netflix.
Yep.
Gran Turismo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. The David Hayter movie.
The Last of Us.
That'll win.
Super Mario Bros. The movie.
Chris Pratt's not winning an award.
Twisted Metal.
A cute shout out, but we all know it's going to be The Last of Us.
Yeah.
It's the Game Awards, it's The Last of Us.
Yeah. Best performance. Do you want me to go through that list?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Ben Starr in Final Fantasy 16.
Okay.
Cameron Monaghan in
Jedi Survivor.
Yep, Survivor. Idris Elba in Phantom Cyberpunk. Liberty.
Yep.
Melanie Liebert? Liebert, I'm going to go with. In Alan Wake 2.
Oh, she must play Saga?
That's what I'm assuming. It doesn't say.
Wow, why would it not say their character?
No, it's kind of stupid, right? Neil Newbon.
She does do very good, by the way.
Neil Newbon in Baldur's Gate 3. Yuri Lowenthal in Spider-Man 2.
I wonder if Yuri is Yuri. That'd be funny. I'm going to vote for Saga, Alan Wake 2.
Okay. Best audio design?
Forza Motorsport?
Not on there.
No?
Alan Wake 2?
Oh, well, that's pretty good audio.
Dead Space?
I don't think it had the same audio, or like as good audio as it used to. So.
Hi-Fi Rush?
Ooh, a music game.
Spider-Man 2?
Well, it was good, but...
Resident Evil 4.
I'm between Hi-Fi and Alan Wake.
These two are, I think... There's I think the next is best score in music. My issue with these two categories is there's too much crossover, usually.
Yeah. And best score, unless you get Halo 3 soundtrack. I mean, well, I don't give a shit, man. I saw a video today after I sent that to you guys. And of course, you know how the Twitter algorithm is.
Yeah.
Naturally. It shows up and it was some clip of people doing it in a cathedral. Mm. And I was just like, it's so good.
That is a banger.
Oh, it's such a banger. Absolutely no reason to be that hard.
Best score in music. I'll just rip through real quick. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3. Final Fantasy 16, Hi-Fi Rush, and Legends of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Best art direction. Alan Wake 2, Hi-Fi Rush, Lies of P, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, and then Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay.
Best narrative. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Phantom Liberty, Final Fantasy 16, Spider-Man 2. So another irritation, and this might be where I'm reading the list from, but they keep switching, when they list Final Fantasies out, they keep switching between the number and the Roman numerals.
Oh, God, so painful. Somebody just couldn't write X1 or XV1.
Yep. Best game direction. Actually,
I guess would that be, because technically it would be XV1 or X1V, and it would look dyslexic if you were having a problem.
Yes. Which is
stupid.
I think where my issue keeps popping up is because it keeps going back and forth. So like it was listing 16 as 1616. And then it randomly at one point switched to Roman numerals.
Oh, jeez.
And now it switched back to numbers again. So I'm like, what the fuck? Where was I? Just the best narrative. Best game direction.
This always, it gets weird.
Yeah.
Multiple times where you get best game director, and then you get into, well, the best game, and it's like, well, the best game director didn't do the best, like, how to. Well, the MVP's not on the winning team, and it's like, well, they are the most valuable person to that team, because without them, they'd be even worse. And it's like, well. Like, Shohei's the MVP. No shit. He's better than everybody else in the baseball. The Angels suck.
They're fucking off. Yeah.
Except now he's a free agent, so let's see.
I
don't care about director.
Okay.
Game of the year.
Game of the year. Alan Wake 2. Baldur's Gate 3. Spider-Man 2. Resident Evil 4, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, and then Legends of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
It's a pretty good list.
The list is good. I think... I think there is a clear winner.
Okay.
I also think this is... All right, so let me preface this by saying I didn't play any of these games. I didn't play a fucking game this year. But from, like, context clues... And, like, you know, following media and stuff and hearing, talking to people that have played the games, I think there's a clear-cut winner. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's what I think.
Okay.
And I also think that they're all strong candidates. I mean, I think maybe...
I think Wonder has probably the least shot.
Interesting. Okay. I kind of would have assumed it'd be Resident Evil 4 or even...
I'll put Resident Evil 4 and Wonder on like the same level of the lesser of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tears of the Kingdom just above that.
Yes, that's what I was going to do as well. I think Alan the big Wake, three is...
Spider-Man and Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
And then I think Baldur's Gate wins.
Same.
And I think my game of the year is going to be between Alan Wake and Spider-Man.
That's fair. There you go.
Boom.
It all makes sense, which is weird.
You know, everything you're saying just makes a lot of sense.
You didn't play Baldur's Gate, right?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't have... I enjoyed seeing clips of it and whatever, but I've never... Even Divinity Original Sin 2 that I've tried to play multiple times, I never got far enough in to like justify spending the money on Baldur's Gate to try to do it again.
Yeah.
they're just not, I'd have to be playing with somebody and like almost be backpacked or like handcuffed to them to get through the game, because I would just, my ADHD would take over. I'd start playing something else.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty beefy game.
Yeah.
The other thing I pointed out, just because it's kind of somewhat, I don't know if comical is a good way of describing it, but no Starfield.
Yeah.
For game of the year. And
which I think is correct.
Yeah, I agree. Don't
think I wouldn't have put it in the list.
Also, like, it only made it into one category.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess you kind of, I guess by
I might have put Forza up there before I put Starfield up there. Like, yeah. It would have been close if I had to put an Xbox game.
I guess, yeah. Not really a success.
Well, you know what that means, Matt.
What's that mean?
It's time for a one news bullet early section of Rumor Roundup.
Rumor Roundup. I threw you through a loop, because normally I put Rumor Roundup at the end.
I know.
I didn't.
That's why I scrolled down.
Because there's conflicting things. There's conflicting trends with the podcast.
Just in general?
Well, in general, but there's two topics that usually get reserved for the bottom. But what if they are happening in the same week?
Oh,
well, then you gotta make decisions. Pick one.
Yeah. Dedicated fans have put together an early map of GTA 6 based on the leaked clips that surfaced online, which suggests that it will be triple the size of the map featured in the previous entry in this series, which is called GTA 5, for anybody that's trying to figure out how Matt's cryptic wording writes.
Or GTA Online.
Still in GTA 5. Oh,
just saying.
Just say fucking same map.
Oh. Fucking ridiculous. All right. First off, probably not true. Second off, if that is true, what the fuck, dude?
If that is true, it'll be very interesting to see how they do traversal. Because, like, GTA 5, for as big as it is, once you're in a plane,
yeah,
it does, you know, it's still big, but, like, it's the right size of scale where getting from top to bottom, from, like, airport to airport, still takes you, like, 10 minutes, yeah. But it's... You're still having, you know, it's still a vibe. You're still kind of chilling. Same thing with running up and down the highways. But, like, if it's just three times as large and takes me three times as long to get top to bottom, it's going to be
it'll be
a little bit of a bear.
Maybe they'll have high-speed rail.
Don't even do that. Just give me something. Do, like, with Spider-Man. I'm all over New York City. But I didn't ever feel going from, and GTA is very good at doing this anyway. Yeah. But I didn't ever feel pain going from one end to the other. You know, there was always, it was either something to do, the world felt lived in, there was always things going on.
I mean, if anyone could pull it off, it's Rockstar.
Right. So. The gameplay was so much fun, too, that you'd crash a car, it's GTA, crash a car, do a ha-ha thing, and then you could have that story of like, oh, yeah, and then I robbed this place and we did whatever, and then I got back in the car, took off, and like cops, and you're like having this whole adventure as you're just living the map. The thing that GTA needs to not do is, if they go triple the size, is to go, hey, Timmy's got my loaf of bread on the other side of town. Can you go get it for me? And you're like, I'm not doing a fetch quest that's 30 minutes long. What? No. The Last of Us.
But you'll do it if they tell you it's drugs.
They're going to have to pay me a lot. And then at least when I get over there, have a whole shit show happen.
Yeah, which is generally what they do.
Right. The Last of Us Part 2 for PlayStation 5 has appeared on the PlayStation Network backend and since been confirmed and released by PlayStation, Naughty Dog, and everybody else. Sony...
Naughty Dog. I guess it's not in the rumor roundup
anymore. It's not in a rumor anymore. It is confirmed to be launching in January 2024, specifically January 24th, I believe, or January 19th, one of those 2 days. They're 5 days apart. You figure out which one makes more sense.
You know, don't worry about it, because you're not going
to
buy it.
Now, here's the only way you're allowed to buy this. There's only one way. It's the way I would allow you to buy it. It's the way I would allow myself to buy it. It's the way I would allow somebody else to buy it, because we bought it on PS4.
It's true.
And they are doing a $10
upgrade.
Ah. So you can, and then you can, and you can move your PS4 save over.
Okay. All right.
So now it is effectively $10 DLC.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I can live with that. But if you're the sick fuck that bought this game on PS4 in 2020 and is going to buy the full game again on PS5,
You're a problem.
You're a whale.
Brrr, that's whale noises.
Damn.
Dory confirmed them.
All right.
Embracer CEO Lars Vingefors. was once again asked how he feels about the KOTOR remake during their earnings presentation. Quote, I noticed that anything I say to this becomes a headline, so that is my only comment, end quote. According to Jeff Grubb, no one is working on the game, and Sony has cut ties with the project, and everybody else says it doesn't exist.
It be dead.
Publisher Asper Media has claimed that the canceled KOTOR 2 Nintendo Switch DLC at the center of a class action lawsuit was down to a third-party objection.
Which, if you put the two together...
Objection! It's an Ace Attorney reference. A former Dragon Age Dreadwolf animator has mentioned a 2024 release date for the next entry in the franchise. That person is a liar. According to the ArtStation profile of concept artist Marvel's Wolverine is targeting 2024, and Sony Ben's next game has a 2025 release window. I believe more than the other one.
Oof.
The Taiwanese ratings board has seemingly revealed the identity of three upcoming PlayStation Plus Classics titles. Buzz Lightyear of Star Command, Thrillville, and Thrillville Off the Rails. You remember Thrillville?
I do not.
It was like the theme park one?
I probably would
have. Had a roller coaster on the front? It was on the cover of the disc?
Yeah, I think I do.
The upcoming Wonder Woman game from Monolith Productions was revealed as a single-player game in an open-world setting, but a recent job listing suggests that it may include live service features. And Sega Chief Operating Officer was on CNBC and said they are launching two new Persona games in 2024. He also said Yakuza and Persona were examples of franchises that could be adapted to live action. And holy shit, the amount of stuff you could make out of the Yakuza one, just doing side missions alone to do filler stories. Disney would lose their mind with the amount of one-off series they could make.
You could do TV shows, you could do movies. And it would all make sense.
You do movies, and then you do TV shows to do all the side quests in the meantime.
Yeah.
Each episode is him just dealing with a side quest like 30 minutes.
The work is all done.
Can you imagine just like recreating a live action? Like I think there is a Yakuza movie. It's campy as all hell from the 90s. Early 2000s? I don't remember. But I'm just picturing them doing like a whole movie, right? And it's basically doing a movie per game. There's like 15 main games or whatever, right? So then you do that. And then in between the movies releasing, they just have like 10 episode seasons and they're 30 to hour long minute episodes. And all it is just random side bullshit, like him in the fighting ring, fighting a tiger out of nowhere. And you're just like, fuck is happening?
People would love it. If you all you need really is
like stick to it being the game
is good casting,
right? And stick to it being the game. Don't get away from the fact that it's silly. Be Black Dynamite.
Yeah.
Be corny.
That other movie's still coming out.
That other movie is downloaded on my computer.
Okay, there you go.
The Outlaw Johnny Black.
Yeah, there it is.
Because I saw that the other day and I went, "Give me it."
I watched Enter the Dragon,
Bruce Lee movie. Yeah.
And I don't know. It was just, I enjoyed it more just because of how similar it is to, well, I guess how similar Black Dynamite is to,
Enter the Dragon. which is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, which is the whole point.
That's why I can't wait to see Outlaw Johnny Black and how campy it is compared to Westerns.
Oh, yeah. So much potential. All right, number 9, we got some WoW news.
Woo!
10 days after the release of the Guardians of the Dream update, World of Warcraft fans were treated to a preview of the next major patch, Seeds of Renewal.
I just want to be real clear, real quick, before you continue. I fucking hate this.
Hate what?
I hate that they dropped the new patch, and we couldn't even enjoy it before all the people that are just data mining everything to be like, the new stuff just came out, and they're like, yeah, well, the next patch you're going to be able to do this. I'm like, that's 4 months away. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I wish they delayed it for 2 months.
Mm.
Or at least until...
Like, you think the idea is they drop this stuff?
Well, because they start just doing work on the next thing, like the next thing's out, so...
Do you think they do this, they release this PR stuff, though, to get ahead of the data mining?
No.
Okay.
I think they do it just because they want to update their PTR so they can start having people get in there and test things. And once they release their PTR, they need to say something before somebody else starts jumping in. So, like, ahead of the data mining, but more, like, at the same time as the data mining is going to start?
Well, there is no release window yet. The developer outlined several major additions, chiefly the availability of follower AI to fill in missing characters during normal dungeons. From the PTR notes, follower dungeons are available for all 8 of the original Dragonflight dungeons on normal difficulty. Queue solo or partner up with up to 4 players in your party and queue into any follower dungeon. Once entering the dungeon, a follower NPC will join your party and fill any role that wasn't filled by one of your pre-existing party members. Rewards given will be the same to that of running normal dungeons with a full party of players. And then Seeds of Renewal also might see dragon riding extended from just Dragonflight zones to the entirety of Azeroth.
I believe confirmed we'll see that.
Yep. 80% speed, I've heard. Mount speed. I guess when you're in dragon, if you're in a non-dragon flight zone, dragon riding, you will only do 80% mount speed.
We'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I just reading shit.
Yeah, no, they already started announcing that stuff, and I was just kind of like, cool, I don't care.
Yeah.
This is 4 months away. I'd prefer to enjoy the stuff I just got.
Well, you can't. You have to read about all the new
things. It's literally like them handing you dessert and then immediately walking out with another pie before you've even taken the slice out of the first one and being like, yep, you're going to eat this one too. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing? No!
Too much of a good thing. You want to take the first 10? I'll take the last 10?
Sure, that works for me. Questionable thing is not full paragraphs. First full paragraph. The former boss of Forza Studio Turn 10, Alan Hartman has been promoted to head of Xbox Game Studios. Hartman is taking over from Matt Booty, who has been promoted to the president of game content and studios. This role involves heading up both the Xbox Game Studios and ZeniMax. Humble Games has laid off an unknown number of employees due to restructuring efforts. Wargaming has raised over $1 million for Ukraine aid, which is a weird sentence when you think about it.
Yep.
Boosteroid Cloud Gaming has joined Samsung's gaming hub. Embracer has released its latest financial results. Couple takeaways. Its net debt has been reduced to $1.4 billion, a 31% improvement over last year. The company also confirmed that 904 people have been laid off as part of the restructure. Payday 3 has already recouped publisher Starbreeze's investment since its September launch. Scopely has announced that Monopoly Go brought in over $1 billion in consumer spending. For the record, that is Monopoly on your phone. That is a mobile Monopoly.
That's billion with a B.
Holy fuck. So when I said I was going to try Terra Nil, maybe Monopoly.
I don't understand. Whatever.
Digital Monopoly has always been like the next thing, though. This is going to... You want to sound old man talking about mobile games. Digital Monopoly is one of the premier games to make digital for ease of use playing.
Oh, yeah. I get it. I understand. But, like, you never hear about it.
But, like, even... No, you never would. Because it's going to... You know who's going to be playing. This is a bunch of 95-year-olds that can barely move their phone. But can you imagine just sitting around a... Literally Thanksgiving someone up, right? Let's play a board game. Let's play Monopoly. Okay, what if we all just watch TV, watch the football game on our phone, or watch the football game on TV and play Monopoly on our phone so we don't have to, like, deal with the whole money thing and just let a computer be the bank? And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, that makes it way easier. Then everybody gets to just do what they're doing. Oh, Timmy, it's your turn. Hey, fucking buy your thing. Holy shit, touchdown. I said, buy it. Come on. You want to trade properties or not? Yeah, I'm fucking walking here. I don't know why I turned into that, but.
So that's the future.
That's Monopoly. That's what Monopoly does to you. Then you flip the board. Number 8, Annapurna has acquired South Africa-based 24-bit games. 24-bit games was established in 2012, and it has ported and co-developed projects such as Cocoon, Neon White, and Makete. It's definitely not Makete. Neon White, also a really good game. Number 9, Naughty Dog's co-president, head of creative Neil Druckmann, will receive the Andrew Yoon Legend Award at the 13th Annual New York Game Awards. The Andrew Yoon Legend Award acknowledges... that is a tongue twister. Andrew Yoon Legend Award acknowledges those who have shaped the games industry, with past winners including Phil Spencer, Tim Schafer, Hideo Kojima, Reggie Fils-Aimé, Jade Raymond, and Todd Howard. Christian Yearling, head of technology at Naughty Dog, has decided to leave the studio because he wasn't getting the award that Neil's getting.
Like, I'm sick of this motherfucker taking all the credit all the time.
He's not even that good. He hasn't worked on a game in years.
That's probably fucking true, though.
It probably is. Well, in it, you know, inadvertently true or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, why would you when you're having to make who knows how many other decisions? Anyway. That's my turn.
What decisions? Whether
to remaster the game
again. Another game again? All right, number 11.
It's a hard one to make.
The PlayStation Portal, which launched on November 15th, has already sold out in the UK and the US. It seems as though scalpers may have hoarded some of the supply. Sony Senior VP of Platform Experience said the Portal was not designed to make a profit.
No shit.
But to increase playtime.
I don't believe that. You're not selling that for $200 telling me you didn't want to make a profit.
Also, there was a teardown done, and the chip is it's using some underperforming chip, and it has terrible repairability, and it was awful to take apart. So, yeah,
so everything that everybody expected.
Yep. TikTok owner ByteDance is reportedly exploring options to sell Shanghai developer Moonton Technology.
That's a good name.
Moonton is due to face Riot parent Tencent in court. Moonton is accusing Riot of copyright infringement. Unity 6 is launching in 2024, featuring AI tools and more multiplayer tech. Unity is focusing on a yearly system of more incremental updates rather than major releases. Games firm Digital Bros Group has announced that it will reduce its global staff by 30%. Digital Bros develops, publishes, and distributes games such as Puzzle Quest 3, Gunfire Reborn, Miasma Chronicles.
Gunfire Miasma. Reborn, good time. Good time.
Amazon Games has laid off 180 staffers of its games workforce. Meta has signed an agreement with Tencent that will see the conglomerate become the exclusive seller of the Meta headsets in China. The deal says that Tencent will take more content and service revenue, while Meta will obtain a larger share of device sales. It's kind of a big one. Capcom announced a new Dragon's Dogma 2 showcase scheduled for Tuesday, November 28th, airing at 1 p.m. Pacific time. According to the PEGI ratings board, the game will release on March 22nd, 2024. Supergiant's critically acclaimed title Hades is coming to iOS, but as a Netflix exclusive.
Of course it is.
Netflix has revealed the animated The Witcher show, Sirens of the Deep, which will premiere in 2024. The animated show will see the return of video game actor Doug Cockle as the voice of Geralt of Rivia.
Who the fuck is that?
I don't know. He's the guy who voices Geralt in the video game.
I never knew his name, so.
The show will also feature actors from the live-action Witcher series. Luxury jeweler Tiffany is making a range of Pokemon jewelry, with the prices going up to $29,000.
Absolutely not. Don't just know. I gotta ask you a question on here before I forget to ask you
at the end of this.
You don't happen to have like another power supply at home? That's modular specifically.
I might.
So the reason being that case.
Yes.
Has my old PC in it.
Yes.
And when I say my old PC, I mean my old one. Not the one that used to be running this.
Yes.
The one that used to be running this one used to be running this before that.
Yeah.
But now I was going to take the one out that I have down there, swapper, put this one into its retirement home.
Yep.
But the problem is that the power supply I have in there is old. Yes. And I think it's still Molexed.
Okay.
And that will not be compatible with my other board.
Yeah.
So I need the modern version. And it's either that or I just... you know, buy a cheap power supply and be done with it.
But. Yeah. I'll take a quick look. I'm not sure. I know I gave a PC to Joey a couple months ago, so I don't know what I have.
If not, like whatever. That. If you do, cool.
Yeah.
If it's modular, even better. If it's not, whatever.
Yeah.
That being said, it's been 7 days. What you been up to?
It's been a wild week for me. Monday, I went to work for half the day, left at noon, drove to Canada, Toronto.
Canadia.
Yep. Drove to Toronto, took the company car, which was amazing because it had ventilated seats. Holy shit.
Oh, you get to breathe.
Went to Toronto to go to a board house.
Doing big company man shit.
Yeah, it was cool. Met some alarm.com people there, some PCB designers and project managers, and we did the whole, like, you know, let's go out to dinner, and then we went to the board house the next day and toured around and talked to people about shit for a while, and then we left Toronto at, like, I think around 2. Got home around 7. Toronto. Big city.
Yeah.
Big sprawl.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tech companies there, too.
Yes, also true.
A lot of Canadians there, too.
That, I mean, it is in Canada.
Apparently, 1/6 of Canada's population is in Toronto.
I believe that.
There's a...
Did you have that moment? Like, and obviously don't, you know, don't divulge company secrets, but like going through those buildings and like looking at things.
Yes.
Did you have that moment where you kind of either go, why the fuck do you do that this way? Or like the, I wish we had this, or the, like, was there ever that moment of like, I'm envious, or this seems way more complicated than how we do it. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
They had, so this board house was interesting in that it was, the US location, which is the parent company, which we met the owner and stuff. They do really small builds there. So like, you know, either really small production builds or prototype runs. And then they, for large production runs, you know, they do it overseas. And then they get shipped there for testing. So they had really interesting testing equipment. They had like a really big machine. And basically they have the same construction as like a 3D printer where it's an XYZ
right.
situation. Yep. And but there's like 8 probes.
Oh.
So it does like the so, yeah, you know, so it's like it, probing. So it
has like the... The almost car, I was gonna say carbon fiber, but when you do carbon fiber, it's closer to a slow weave. But
this one, well, it's funny you say that because this one, this the machine that they were showing us was brand new and it had carbon fiber arms because a big problem because it's they're moving so fast now that weight's a big concern. And it was just neat to see that because, like, you know, it was the company that designed it and built it and everything like that. They sell them to countries all over the world, so instead of putting like pass fail, they put a happy face and a sad face.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Dumb stuff like that.
Universal signs.
Yep. There was some interesting stuff. Like, for example, so like the silk screen on a board.
Yeah.
White, mostly what you see, which is fine. It's all done with inkjet printers, which is interesting to me because it's just basically a commercial inkjet printer. But it is. Even more interesting is that if you want something other than white, there's no way to like print it with modern technology. So if you're like, I want blue silk screen, they have to do it by hand the way that they did it like 25, 30 years ago.
Oh,
it's really interesting. One other thing, one thing did happen was, the people we were with were really interested in flex boards.
Okay, yeah.
And the combination of rigid and flex.
Sure.
And they were asking questions, and they were showing us how they pressed them together and stuff like that. And then it got to the point where they were like, well, how are you, you know, how are you pressing flex and rigid together and then removing, like, and having it, because it's layered, you know, it's all layered together pressed. So, like, how are you having flex between rigid but and still, you know, making it work? And they're like, we can't tell you that. That's, we got to keep some secrets.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, so we did that. And then we came home on Tuesday night, and I had to go and work Wednesday morning and prep for Thursday, because Thursday we had a company coming up from Dallas, Texas to look at. I've been working on a project, writing a test and building a test fixture for the past couple months for their board. And they had engineers and quality people coming up on Thursday to basically qualify our fixture and say, we approve, use it in production. And then we're here on Monday, we're here Friday. And basically my entire day of work was just like, you know, just sitting at my computer desk being like,
just zombified.
Yeah. This weekend I should actually start putting the sim rig together, like the aluminum extrusion rig together. I ordered a monitor stand that should be here in like a week.
Nice.
And I ordered some plates that already came in for adapter plates for
attaching things.
Yeah, attaching the wheelbase. And I need to find a seat or figure out what I'm going to do for a seat. And
progress.
Yeah, that's about it. What have you been up to?
Not anywhere near as hectic a week as you. Took some time to play the new patch. Now the new season's out.
Nice.
You've been doing dungeons. Just took time because I was like, I need to not be at work right now because I'm losing my mind.
That's fair.
I was running my mouth with them the other day of just like, oh, so what are you going to do? I'm like, nothing. I'm going to do literally nothing. I just need to like not be here.
Yeah,
just
decompress.
Like essentially just decompress of, and there's nothing now. I think that's like just too stressing, but like, we're just kind of reaching that point where I'm like, I can feel my angst showing up and like wanting to snap. And I'm like, nope, just don't be here for a bit. You'll be okay. And doing it, going into this and then coming in next week, only having 3 days because we, you know, then holidays. So I'm gone again and whatever. It's like, okay, good. That'll be a good reset.
Yeah.
Because I was like, man, if I could take a month off, I would.
Mm-hmm.
And just disappear. But I also know that if I take that month off, there's always that thought in the back of your head that's going, I know shit's not getting done. I know I'm going to walk into it a month.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of like, there's also part where, you know, depending on what the weather is and everything coming into the winter is like, there's going to be times where I might just work at home.
And yeah.
That alone will probably save my sanity. Some of just like, I can still do everything I'm doing, but just not, you know, be there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've been enjoying playing the new season. I did do the entire raid on normal.
Nice.
Last night.
Thoughts?
So done. It was fun. It was a good raid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll do any more of it. You know, we'll see.
Was it a random group or was it somebody?
It was the guys.
Okay.
I wasn't planning on doing it. We were, Tree and I were getting ready to run keys and just kind of like sitting around. And then Buck messaged me and said, yo, I know like you guys, you're like you said, you kind of didn't want to, but like you want to come just vibe for this normal night. Like we'll just slap it out and be done with it. And whatever. He's like, I'll bring both of you guys. I was like, yeah, sure. Whatever. I mean, we're not really planning on doing anything else. I managed to pull a bunch of tier, so it kind of worked out, but
nice.
It was just like, all right, cool. That's done. Maybe at some point, you know, I'll get the itch to do it again or to get more or whatever. But there's just part of me that's like, it's the same thing always that we've talked about. Well, just there's groups that I enjoy with, and then there's just always going to be a bad egg, and that bad egg, I will, even though I shouldn't, let ruin so much.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ah, God, why, when we were all doing so good, why are you here? So yeah, it'll be whatever. I'll see. We'll figure it out. We'll do something. But, you know, raid's done. Keys are being done. It's a good time.
So,
and I reinstalled my entire PC. So I have to reinstall Alan Wake, reinstall Like a Dragon.
Okay. That was going to be my next question. It's like, you finished Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, Spider-Man, I planned him to finish.
So you have Man With No Name left and Alan Wake 2.
And Alan Wake 2, in terms of, like, story things to do.
Yeah.
And then Christmas break is going to be looking like Advance Wars, maybe. I don't like that it's $60. That's the problem with that one. I don't know if I really want to.
But Mario Wonder RPG and Assassin's Creed Mirage will all be in, hopefully all be in that week of trying to get those done, which is why I want to get the other ones done before that.
Yeah.
I
keep forgetting about Assassin's Creed.
But I got to reinstall them and go back to getting through them. I think that was it. Because, yeah, it literally happened Saturday night. Yeah. Saturday night, my PC started shitting itself, and I was like, that's it.
Fuck it. Yeah.
1 a.m. That's it. Yeah, you're fucking changing because I'm done with you. And my angry IT Nate took over, and I was like, I'm going to bend this machine to my will. And then it beat the shit out of me for the next 4 days. And I think I finally tamed it.
Our battle will be legendary.
That's literally me to every machine I come across.
Have you come across any good Black Friday deals?
The only one that I decided to spring on so far, because it's the cheapest they've ever been, and I said I've always had two, so I might as well just get a second one. As I did buy a second DualSense for the PC for the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Bought the all black one. Classy. Almost bought the blue one. Almost.
Classy.
But yeah, so that's downstairs. I do have that. And it's mainly I've never needed two controllers for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more it's of
quality
just
of life.
It's a quality of life. No, I don't ever usually have to worry about swapping between controllers like the, oh, this one died, might as well grab another one and keep going. Yeah. Normally, because I'm playing so many games, it's like, okay, good, that one died. Charge this and go play another game while I'm...
You don't have to explain to me. I bought two controllers right away.
But also, you use yours like a media console.
Theoretically, but...
Or like I know that used to be a thing of like, that's why your controllers will always die. But I don't. So it was like I never... Right into the need to do it. Like, that was the same thing my guy at work's. Like, I always buy two right off the rip.
Yeah.
Because he's like, if I'm playing a game and one dies, I just grab the other one and keep going. And I'm like, I just charge it. I don't. But I'm buying, I'm doing all these other things. So it's, there's that. That's the only one. I've seen a couple other deals that I just like.
Nothing's really been like.
I mean, we're still just starting.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at any like anybody's ads. Like, I haven't looked at Target's Black Friday ad, Best Buy's Black Friday ad. Like, I haven't done any of that stuff of like, oh, is there anything I should at least just order? Like, is Pyrex, a really good Pyrex deal going to be, $10 for a good set? Spoiler alert, that's one of the best Black Friday deals you can buy. Straight up.
Pyrex?
Well, remember all the glass?
Yeah.
Things that they would always get an end cap up in kitchen, and it was always like the $40 sets that were down to like 15.
Yeah,
and we only ever had so many, and they were always sold out immediately.
Yep.
But it's like good glassware storage instead of like the plastic stuff. Yeah, it's one of the best. When I say one of the best Black Friday purchases you can make, it's because it's practical, and it normally doesn't drop that cheap throughout the year.
No,
it'll get close, but it's not consistent. It's usually around like baking or back to school times.
I think I bought speaker stands for my
because you have speakers. you have actual speakers
and
me speaker standing those doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah, it's true. And I did randomly notice like how cheap storage has gotten again.
Oh, storage is dirt cheap right now.
Yeah, like I saw it's 4 terabyte
hysterical
like.
Gen 4 M2 drive for probably $90.
It was I think it was Gen 5. It was 4 terabyte and it was like $200, I think.
Which even that would is going to be another $50 off here in a minute.
Yeah. And I was just like, when did this shit get so cheap?
Oh yeah. No, edge storage has been plummeting and I've been debating re-upping another massive drive, but nope, storage has been plummeting. I've debated buying another TV.
Yeah. I was looking at monitors,
but when I say buy another TV, I mean get it like a something big old OLED.
Yeah,
and put it downstairs.
I would say like at this point, if I had to get another TV, I would just get an OLED.
Oh, I 100% would because I know exactly which one I would buy because it's the one that my buddy has at his house.
Yeah.
But then put that in the living room, move the living room one up here, move this one, do the whole cycle,
the whole rotation.
But then if I do that. If I got a bigger one downstairs, I need to mount it. And if I mount it, then I need to redesign the living room. And if I redesign the living room, then I need to... It's mouse a cookie.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's kind of like the speaker stand thing is going to kick that off for me.
Gotcha.
And I just was like, you know what? They're so fucking cheap. I'm just going to do it, and I'll deal with it when it gets here.
Yep.
You know,
and like, I've stopped myself multiple times going, oh, just deal with it when it gets here. And it's like, nope.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all right. That's all I got.
Same.
All right, cool. And then we will see you guys in 7 days. Toodaloo. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.